We have been sharing in this service about faith. Amen. Amen. And we have been talking about faith because faith is what we need to do things like this. Amen. When you don't have faith, you should not do something like this. You should find one that someone has done and then you add yourself to it. You see what I'm saying? But this is for people of faith. This is for people who believe in the impossible becoming possible. It's for people who believe that God is still in the business of doing miracles. That God is doing miraculous things. God is turning things around for people. Amen. And so we've been sharing in this church about faith. And I believe last week we were talking about some people. We went through a number of people who approached Jesus with faith, and how that anyone who came to Jesus with faith seemed to walk away with something. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone who came to Jesus with faith seemed to walk away with something. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you will come to Jesus with faith, you will walk away with something. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you approach Jesus with faith, you will walk away with something. It should not matter what you're coming from. Do you see?
Yeah.
What will matter is what you're taking with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we saw how different people came to Jesus. And all these people, you know, came to Jesus with faith. And each time when they were healed, when they experienced a miracle, when God did something for them, the Bible says Jesus explained to them how they got healed. And in none of the cases did Jesus say, "You were healed by my power." Do you understand? Jesus told them, "It might interest you to know that it is your faith that has healed you." Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus said, "The healing you are experiencing is not from me. It's actually something from you has triggered this healing." Hallelujah. And last week I remember illustrating to you how that the power of God is like the sink, the tap behind you. If you look behind you, in this church we get to have a sink inside, you know. I don't know if it's for a type of baptism or hallelujah. But when you look behind you, there is a sink over there, and it has one of these fancy taps, you see. And this thing has water in it. Do you see? But the water is not running on its own. Do you understand? The only thing that causes water that is in it to be experienced by anyone is when an individual walks up to it and activates that lever. You see, there's a lever there. You know, you have to pull it towards you. Do you understand? And then it causes you, and you only, to experience the water that is in the tap. And the power of God is like that. That is how come when Jesus was walking through town, there were a lot of sick people, but they were not healed just because he walked through town. But the ones who were in that town who approached him with faith, they got to experience healing. And that is why Jesus told them, "It is your faith that has healed you." Are you getting what I'm saying? Just like if I went back to turn over there to turn the tap on, you're going to say, "I turned the tap on." Isn't it? But the water was there. Before I ever got here, there was water in here. Isn't it? But my action causes me to experience the water instantly, right now. I will turn it on, the water will come to me, and it will bless me. Do you see? The power of God is like that. it is there and it is waiting for someone to activate it. And it is your faith that turns the tap on. It is your faith that activates the power of God. And so when a woman touched Jesus, and she was even scared, because I think she was actually quite surprised at the instant results. Do you see? The woman came to Jesus and she said to herself that if I will touch the hem of his garments, I'll be made whole. I know it. If I can do this, I'll be blessed. Do you see? And then she did it. And when she did it, the Bible says she got healed. And then Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Nobody touched you." Jesus said, "Someone touched me." Then the woman comes to Jesus from the back and she says, "I did." Do you see? And she was wondering what Jesus was going to do. She was probably getting ready to apologize for touching. And Jesus said, no. It is your faith. It is your faith that has made you whole. Hallelujah. Your faith will bring many things into your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your faith will bring many, 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 many different things into your life. You will see that your faith will bless you. Let me share one more or two more with you, and then we can continue to something else. Amen. All right. So Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. All right. Skip that one. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is the story of two blind guys. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 9, chapter 9, and okay. So let's start reading from verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I'm able to do this?'" Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, "Yea, Lord." Hallelujah. Amen. You see, one of the problems we have is a lot of people who come to the Lord cannot answer yes to this question. Do you see?
Yeah.
They cannot answer yes. They come to the Lord, all right, but they cannot answer yes, "I believe you can do this for me." Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. They cannot answer yes, "I believe you can heal me. I believe you can open a door for me. I believe you can solve my immigration problems. I believe you can heal my body of this disease. I believe you can fix this relationship." They come to the Lord, but they do not believe. But next time you find yourself before the Lord and not sure whether you believe, pray that the Lord will help your unbelief. Because one smart person came to the Lord. And then when Jesus asked a similar question, he said, "Yes, I believe." Then he suddenly thought, "Hold on." Then he said, "Anyway, Lord, help my unbelief." Yeah. I think I believe. But in case you think I don't believe, or in case my believing doesn't rise up to, you know, the standard that is required, please top it up. Please help my unbelief. Hallelujah. God will help your unbelief. I said God will help your unbelief. See, sometimes you can't blame people for struggling to believe. Because when you have lived with a situation for so long, or when you've seen it play itself out so often, it is a little difficult sometimes to imagine a life without it. The situation has sort of woven itself into your life and has become a part of the definition of your existence, that it is difficult to isolate it. You see, it's like to isolate it is to remove, like, you know, a piece of the fabric from something. Because the thing has woven itself like a patch into your life. And you cannot imagine. yourself living without this sickness, living without this trouble, living without this problem, because that is you. You do not know you or a you without this problem. But I came to tell you today that Jesus is able to help your unbelief. I said Jesus is able to help your unbelief. Hallelujah. You may not know how he'll do it, but Jesus will help your unbelief. Amen. So these guys came to Jesus, and when he asked them, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" They said unto him, yea, Lord." Then he touched their eyes. Then he said to them, "According to your faith, not according to my power." Not according to how much power I have, but rather according to how much faith you have, be it unto you. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, once again, someone's faith is determining outcomes for him. What you believe will determine outcomes for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, there are other factors that we believe in. And often we have more faith in the other factors determining our outcomes. But the Lord wants you to shift your faith into his power. And to believe in his power and what he is able to do. And he said to the guys, well, he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, whatever you believe, let that happen. And the Bible says their eyes were opened and Jesus straightly charged them saying, see that no man know it. But when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus was telling the guys, don't tell anybody I did this. They said, yes, sir. When they left, they said, come and see somebody who is working miracles. They said, Lord, we cannot obey this one. I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. I am sorry, Lord. I made a promise not to say it. But that was when I needed the healing. But this thing is too mind-blowing, Lord. I cannot keep it to myself. Hallelujah. I see the Lord working a miracle in your life. You will not be able to keep it to yourself. You will not be able to keep it to yourself. Because Jesus will work a miracle in your situation. Hallelujah. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Hey, because, you know, the guys had started announcing. So when one person had a dumb man with a devil somewhere around, he said, let's go and try this one too. Hallelujah. So anyway, you see that as people have faith, as they are approaching Jesus, he is working miracles in their lives. They are always walking away with something. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus never said to anybody, your holiness has made you whole. Because God knows that if he was waiting for holiness before he does healing, there will be no healing. Do you understand? Yeah. Jesus never said, according to your patience, so be it. Jesus never said to anyone, according to how much money you have, so be it. According to your family name, so be it. According to any of the things we trust and any of the things we believe in, any of the connections, according to your status, so be it. No. There is nothing like that. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There were some guys who came to Jesus with their friend. Let's read that one. Luke chapter 5. Wow. Okay, Luke chapter 5, and let's read from verse 17. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Can you see that? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them, like a Wi-Fi signal.
Wow.
Do you see? It's like a Wi-Fi signal in a room. It doesn't mean automatically that you get to check your mail.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? The possibility exists. But now you need to punch in some numbers. You need to activate it.
Yeah.
You need to say, I want to check my mail. Yeah. Then you need to pull that iPad out and you need to go in there and then put the thing and connect to it. And suddenly it starts working for you and you only.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Are you following what I'm saying? Because you're the one who has faith. So Jesus is in a meeting and he's preaching. And the Bible says the power of God was present. There was healing power available. The power of God was present to heal. So now, who is it that will tap into that power to cause it to come alive and do something on your behalf? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So then, the Bible says, and behold, they brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you see what is going on here? The Bible says Jesus was in the meeting and the power of God was present to heal. You know, like we're in the meeting here, and I believe the power of God is present here.
Yeah.
To heal and to deliver. Yeah. And to cause so many things to happen in our meetings. Amen.
Amen.
So as we are preaching, the power of God is scanning around looking for someone who has faith. You see, it's like there is healing power here. But is there any sick person or is there anyone who wants to engage this power at all? Is there anyone who has any interest in this power that is here? Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Then suddenly the Bible says, behold, some people brought their friend who was sick. And these guys were trying to get Jesus. They were trying to get their friend to come before Jesus. And there was such a large crowd. Like the kind of crowd we're going to see in our church.
Amen.
One of these days. Hallelujah. There was such a large crowd that people could not get to see Jesus. That's why those of you who can see me now, you better make it a habit to talk to me, because very soon you're going to need an appointment like for 3 months before you can see me. Hallelujah. Yeah. So these guys cannot find a way to get to Jesus. Then one of them has a bright idea. They say, look, let's climb the roof. The other one says, what? He said, yeah, let's climb the roof. He says, you say you believe Jesus is a healer? Show your faith by your actions. The guy says, all right, let's do it. So they look through the windows and they gauge about where Jesus is standing. Do you see? Then one of them thinks that, look, if we open the roof right around here, we will drop our friend right in front of him. You get the front row. You see. So they are there. And the Bible says they removed the tiling. So I don't know if it was this kind.
Wow.
But Jesus is there. And then the thing starts to crack. And he's thinking, well, are we about to have another dove from the heavens coming to speak? Or is this some heavenly intervention? And then the thing is opening. It's opening. Then suddenly the place is open. And instead of a dove, they see a whole bed. And the Bible calls it a couch. So this couch is coming down. And it's kind of like, what is the Lord up to? Then the couch is coming. Then boom. it lands right in front of him.
Wow.
And who is on the couch? Here is a man who is sick. So Jesus looks at the man, and then he looks up there. Is this one from heaven? Or then he sees the area boys. He sees the guys. One of them is wearing a cap with 10 backwards. You see, yeah. Another one has his nose pierced with about 6 rings. You know. And another one, so many different things. And these guys are just coming. Because you see, with the Lord, it's not about how you look. It's about what you believe. It's about what you believe. Human beings judge people based on how they look. But the Lord looks at the heart. And the Bible says, with the heart, a person believes unto righteousness. Your status in before the Lord is changed by what is in your heart and what you believe in your heart. Hallelujah. So they dropped the guy right in front of Christ. Then suddenly the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I think Jesus saw immediately that this guy's problem has been caused by a lot of sins. Hallelujah. Because there are some problems we have, they are caused by sins. They are caused by sins. That is why it is a mistake to think that because Jesus will forgive you when you sin, it's okay to live anyhow. Or it's okay to indulge in sin. Because sin has consequences. Hallelujah. It has consequences, and this guy had been paralyzed totally. And when they came in faith, the friends dropped him. I mean, these guys, I don't know, they must have been either professional roof repairers, or then they must be someone, at least they are all roof removers. Yeah, for so many reasons. Because look at it, they were trying to get into a house, and when they couldn't get in, they said, we are going in. Yeah, they said, we are going in. We are going in. One of them said, how? The other one said, you watch me. We are going in. We are going in. And we're getting front row right before Jesus. Because we know he can do this. We know he can do this. Hallelujah. Is that your attitude before the Lord? Do you come to the Lord with that confidence? I know you can do this. I know you can do this. I know you can do this. And I don't care what it takes to bring it before you. I am dropping my problem right before you because I know you can do it. Hallelujah. Everybody has some impossibility facing you in your life. Everybody usually has some mega problem. Isn't it? Everybody usually has some mega issue that plagues your life. An issue that will not respond to go away. Do you see what I'm saying? You say go away and it's like it didn't hear you. Everybody has some situation like that. But we need to have faith and we need to come before the Lord with faith. Come before the Lord with the confidence that he can do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus said, when Jesus saw their faith, the Bible says, when he saw their faith, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Wow. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Hallelujah. Your day of seeing strange things is around the corner. I said your day of seeing strange things is around the corner. A day is coming in your life when you will say, this is strange. This is strange. This is strange. That God will build a church here in Rancho, this is strange. That you got promoted the way you have been promoted, this is strange. A day is coming, you're going to look at your bank statement, and you look at the balance, and you say, hold on. Then you go up, you scroll down, because these days you look at it online, isn't it? So you're going to scroll down and go up to the top of the page and check the name. To see if it is yours. Did you by any chance log into someone's account? And you're going to see the name is your name. The balance doesn't seem to be your balance. The balance doesn't seem to be one you're familiar with. You are not used to such balances. But you would have entered the day of strange things. You would have entered the day of strange things. I said the Pharisees, they said, hey, we have seen strange things today. We have seen strange things today. It pays to have faith. Your faith will launch you into strange things. Your faith will cause you to excel. Your faith will cause you to rise up and do well. Your faith will put a distance between you and what you're used to being. Your faith is going to separate you from your past. Your faith is going to separate you from your sicknesses and your diseases. Some that you are so accustomed to having them, you have even learned to manage yourself with them properly. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, because sometimes when you have a problem, you learn how to manage it. Over time, you get so used to having this problem that you become even comfortable with it. It is not an enemy anymore. It is a friend you accommodate well. Do you see? But your faith is about to bring a separation. Your faith is about to destroy that friendship between you and that sickness, between you and that past. Between you and that circumstance that keeps popping up, never go away situation, and never go away, you know, will dodge a little bit, then just rise up again. Your faith is about to put a gap between you and that problem. Because your day of strange things is here. I said your day of strange things is here. Your day of strange things is here. Say, my day of strange things is here. Say, I am entering a day of strange things. I'm entering a day of miracles. A day of the power of God. Say, my faith will make me whole. My faith will set me free. My faith will open doors for me. My faith will bring things to pass in my life. What a mighty God we serve. Give him a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, because your faith is so valuable to you, because your faith will bring you such great blessings, it is important for you to develop this faith. Hallelujah. It is important for you to develop your faith. It is important for you to build up your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith needs to be built up. Faith can grow. Do you see? When you look in the Bible, you see so many different descriptions, so many different adjectives used to describe faith. And all these adjectives suggest only one thing, that there is not only one type of faith. That faith is not just one thing you just have and that's it. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith begins. The Bible says God gives to every man a measure of faith. So everybody has a place to start from. Do you understand? Now from that point on, your faith has to be developed. Your faith has to be built up. The faith has to grow. The faith must be fed the right things, and that right thing will cause your faith to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. See, recently someone, where's my phone? Someone sent me, you know, I think that's my phone at the back. Can you bring it forward, please? Someone sent me a little cartoon, which I found very interesting. I think it was yesterday or the day before that someone sent me this cartoon, which actually shows, it is a cartoon that shows, okay. So here is someone addressing salary. See, did you see this cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah? It says salary has remained small and all his friends have grown. So fuel, bread, rent, they have all grown up to become big guys. But salary has remained small over there. So the guy is asking, salary, why are you not growing? See, your friends are all now grown-ups. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith starts like salary. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you leave your faith unattended to, your faith will remain stunted. Your faith will remain very small. And soon you will find that the challenges that are rolled into your life are much bigger than you have faith to handle. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, when you read the Bible, you see all kinds of faith. You see different types. The Bible talks about great faith, then little faith, then being weak in faith, then being strong in faith, then exceeding growing faith, then increasing faith, then unwavering faith. See, all of these things, all the way up to dead faith. That you have faith is dead. The dead faith is non-responsive. Hallelujah. It's not working at all. Do you see the thing? That is dead faith. Hallelujah. But wherever you are, because even dead faith can be resurrected. Hallelujah. Even dead faith can be resurrected. Wherever you are, your faith can be made to grow. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Your faith can be made to grow. Tell somebody your faith can grow. Hallelujah. The Bible says faith can grow. Faith comes. Your faith can increase. You know, look at this verse in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So right there, the Bible says faith comes. So it doesn't matter if today you realize that you don't have much faith, because faith is something that moves. Faith is dynamic. It's something that grows. Unlike salary, you know, faith grows. Hallelujah. Your faith can become bigger.
Amen.
Your faith can become stronger. Hallelujah. It can become easier for you to believe some things. It can become, you can get to a place where it is easier for you to believe some things. Do you understand? See, I find it easier now to believe some things than before. Some time ago, it would have been harder for me to believe certain things. But now it's easier for me to believe. It's easier for me to believe that we can have a church here in Rancho. it's a lot easier because my faith here in this has grown. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, my faith here is not salary type of faith at all. You see, I have a lot of faith in what we are doing. Amen. So my faith in this has grown, and your faith can grow. The Bible says faith comes. Do you see? And it comes by hearing. By hearing. Your faith feeds on what you hear. Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says, and hearing, if it is faith you want, you've got to hear the right thing. Hallelujah. If it is faith you're trying to have, then it says, don't just hear stuff. You need to hear the right thing. Amen. So it says, faith comes. It comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. What God says about a situation. What God's word says about a situation. Continuing to hear the word of God sets you up properly for believing God for miracles. For believing God for impossibilities to become possible. For believing God for big things. For believing God to open big doors for you. Your faith needs to feed on the word of God. Hallelujah. Your faith needs to feed on the word of God. If faith comes, and faith comes by what you hear, then I think that our hearing can no longer be a matter of anything goes. What do you think? You can no longer live a life of anything goes type of hearing. There are some things that you must deliberately refuse to hear. You must refuse to hear certain things. Anything that is contrary to what you are trusting for, you must deliberately refuse to hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must deliberately tune your ears out and tune them out. Tune those things out of your ears. Because it's not consistent with what you're believing for. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to guard your ears if you're going to develop your faith. You need to guard your ears if you're going to develop your faith. It says faith comes by hearing. In fact, one day the Bible says Jesus told them, take heed what ye hear. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Take heed what you hear. You see, Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. What ye hear, what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. Hallelujah. That you need to be careful what you hear. Amen. There are a lot of unnecessary things we shouldn't be listening to. Hallelujah. Take heed what you hear. Now what is sad is sometimes that what you are hearing is something you are saying to yourself. It is not so much that someone has come to your house or someone is standing outside saying something. But it is that you yourself are telling yourself many things that are contrary to what you believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're telling yourself many things that are contrary to what you should be telling yourself. So you're believing God for one thing, or you're desiring one thing from the Lord. But on the other hand, you are telling yourself something else that fights against what you are trusting God for. Hallelujah. And when people find themselves at war with themselves in that way, the Bible says they become a double-minded person. It's like a person who has two minds. And the Bible says that thing destroys your faith, and let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Have you seen that verse before? Let me show it to you. James, just we'll come back to this later. But go to James. James chapter 1. Go to the book of James chapter 1. Let me show you that verse very quickly. Are you still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Are you following what I'm sharing with you? All right. Now look at this verse 6. It says, well, start from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, do you see? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Isn't it? And then it says, it shall be given to him. It shall be given him. Then it says, but let him ask in faith. Can you see that? So it's one thing. Give us the other one again, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he doesn't censure anybody or do anything like that. He will ask, he will give it to you. God wants to give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Your wisdom is the way you think, isn't it? And God wants to give you, according to the book of James, there are types of wisdom. It says there's wisdom that is devilish. There's wisdom that is sensual. There's wisdom that is earthly, and then there's wisdom that is from above. Hallelujah. So there's wisdom that God gives to people. God can help you in the way you think. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. And God can bless you greatly with wisdom. He says God will give it to you. So you ask and God will give it to you. You see, then in the next verse he says, but it's not just like that. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not here a little, there a little. Do you understand? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Do you see? Then you see, and what it means is you can never go to the ocean or go to the sea and see the wave and you tell the wave, wait here for me. Do you understand? Because as the wave comes, there's no particular pattern. You think it's coming from here and the next one comes from here. Then the next one comes from here. So there's no particular order in which it comes. And he says, people who are like that, he says, those people should not, look at verse 7. He says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Amen. A person who is here today and then is shifted to something else tomorrow and then is believing something else the next day and is believing all of this being directed by the different thoughts that are coming to his head, you know, says that such a person must not believe or must not think that they will receive anything from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants people to approach him with faith. Amen. Amen. You should not be double-minded about anything. In this church, we must not be double-minded about anything.
Amen.
We must not be thinking, you know, maybe it will work, maybe it will not work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're thinking of starting a business, you should not be double-minded about it. You should not be asking yourself, well, maybe it will work. And then another time you're thinking, well, you see, it didn't work for this person. It didn't work for this person. Maybe it will never work for me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You shouldn't entertain such thoughts because your faith is built up by what you're hearing. Amen. Guard your ears. Hear the right things. Amen. Speak the right things. Speak the right things because you are the first one who hears the things you say. Amen. And you hear things you say and hear even what you haven't said yet. Hallelujah. We on the outside, we hear only what you said. And even that you have to say it loud enough for us to hear it. But you, by yourself, are hearing even what you have not yet voiced out. As long as it's in your head, it is beginning to affect you. It's beginning to erode your faith. It's beginning to make it difficult for you to trust and to believe God for whatever you're trusting God for. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Is the message relevant to somebody today? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? He says, for let not that man think, let him ask in faith. He shouldn't think that he will receive anything from the Lord if he doesn't have faith. And the reason, verse 8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A person who has two minds about anything is unstable in all their ways. Hallelujah. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. God wants you to be stable.
Amen.
Amen. He wants you to have stable faith. He wants you to believe that all things are possible.
Amen.
If only you believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All things are possible if only you believe. So your faith will grow by checking what you hear. Amen. Now what you hear, which is what registers in your thoughts, you know, don't only come through your ears, but your eye is also an entry into what is on your mind. Is it not true? So even your eye does some kind of hearing. Isn't it? Through seeing, your eye also receives information. Information comes to you through what you are hearing. You see, all our senses feed our hearing somehow. All our senses eventually register information in our minds that end up fighting the faith that we are trying to have. Hallelujah. That is why even what we see, we also need to watch that also. When you've seen a lot of terrible things, it's difficult to believe that for you it will be different. Amen. Amen. When you watch a lot of movies that have scary things in it, even when you turn the television off, you see that you somehow find it difficult to believe. Yeah. Yeah, Lifetime Channel has a lot of those kinds of, yeah, a lot of bad stories. Yes, a long time ago I watched some movie, you know, they have all these movies, and it's one bad story after the other. Yeah, you try it one day, you see. Just one bad story, and the story just when you think it's really bad, then it takes on another turn and another twist. It's so bad. Hallelujah. But as you watch all these things, you are feeding information that fights your faith. You are feeding information that guides even how your thoughts about your relationships. It begins to guide and shape how you see and think about people. It begins to control your expectations. You begin to predict your future based on what you are seeing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You begin to predict what's going to happen based on what you are seeing. And that starts to take over, and that starts to form the basis of the faith that is in action in your life. That is why you must watch the right things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are some things you should say, I don't listen to such things. Yes. Sometimes when people come to you, so-called friends, even relatives come to you with stories that are negative, that pull your faith apart and destroy even the little faith that you have managed to put together. Do you understand? You need to learn how to say to them, I am sorry, but please don't talk to me about such a thing ever again. Please, I do not listen to such things. Please don't bring such things near me. Hallelujah. Because your faith must grow. Your faith must be nurtured. Your faith must not be poisoned. Your faith needs stories that energize it. Isn't it? Your faith needs testimonies that energize it, that supply vitamins and nutrients to it, and that cause it to spring forth. That's what your faith needs. Your faith doesn't need something that kills it. Your faith doesn't need acidic information that kills it and destroys it and causes it not to grow. Your faith cannot work with such things. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All of us need to have faith. Our faith will come. The Bible says faith comes. It does come. It does come. It does come. So even if you don't have faith right now, believe God. Begin to reach out for it, because the Bible says faith comes. It comes. It comes. You will have faith if you start hearing the right things. And he says it comes by the word of God. Remember, I was sharing with you this morning how that the Bible says we obtain God's promises. And those promises give us access to his divine nature. He says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the things that pertain to life and godliness, he says we get access to them through the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God hands to us keys in the form of the promises of God. These promises are what ignite your faith. Your faith feeds on these promises. Your faith feeds on what God says. When God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Your faith likes such a diet. Do you see what I'm saying? That is like cereal to your faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. Because for many of us, the big thing that is destroying our today is yesterday. Yesterday is the culprit. The past is the thing that is ruining the present and giving us no chance at a future at all. It is the past. That's what is destroying us. And if we can take hold of the word of God that says that if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and that all things are passed away, all things are become new. If you start feeding your faith this kind of diet, suddenly your faith will begin to come alive. Your faith will start putting on weight. Then when you step on the scale, you see that your faith is moving from 150 pounds to 170 pounds. You see your faith starts to take on more weight. It starts to pile on flesh because your faith is feeding on the right things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So don't starve your faith. Sometimes our faith is losing weight because it's starved. You put the wrong thing on the diet. You should have put your body on a diet, not your faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You put the wrong thing on a diet. Your faith must be allowed to grow. Must be released to grow wildly. Hallelujah. And it's going to bring great things into your life. Hallelujah. How many can see faith bringing great things into your life? How many have a need? How many have a need that would take a miracle? Raise up your hand if you have a need in your life today. You are thinking about it. As I'm speaking, your mind is on something. And you know this thing is going to take a miracle. Do you believe that God is able to work such a miracle in your life? I want you to stand to your feet and let's pray together for a miracle. Let's pray that God will give you that miracle. God will build up your faith. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. If God looks at you this afternoon, what is he going to see? Is God going to see faith in you? Is God going to see faith for that situation? Is God going to see faith? Is God going to see that you still believe? You still believe in spite of everything you have seen, in spite of everything you have heard, in spite of everything you have read, that you still believe that with God nothing shall be impossible. If you believe it, just begin to reach out to God and begin to say, Lord, thank you for my miracle. Just have that particular situation in mind and say, Lord, thank you for my miracle. Thank you for my miracle. Thank you for my miracle. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for my miracle. Thank him for your miracle. Thank him for your miracle. Say, Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. I believe. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. We believe, Lord, that you will begin a good work in us. You are faithful and you will complete what you have started. What you have begun, you will complete it. You will build it up. We have faith for it in the name of Jesus. Not only faith for your work, we have faith for our lives. We have faith for our health. We have faith for our children. We have faith for our finances. We have faith for our jobs. We have faith for immigration issues. We have faith for all kinds of things. Anything. Anything that requires faith. We have faith for it today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Faith comes. And your faith is going to rise. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for miracles today. Thank you for a miracle. Just place your hand on your chest, everybody. Father, thank you for that miracle. in the name of Jesus. Miracles of healing in the body. Miracles of healing in the mind. Miracles of closed doors opening. Miracles of sour relationships being restored and fixed. Miracles of dead situations coming back to life. Miracles of situations that where we have lost hope. Miracles of hope returning in the name of Jesus. Miracles, miracles, miracles. Receive those miracles today in the name of Jesus. Into every life, oh God, let there be birth a miracle. Let there be testimonies, oh God. In the next few days, let there be testimonies, financial miracles, testimonies, 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 things that people never believed could happen. Oh God, thank you for all these miracles in the name of Jesus. Changes in situations, changes in lives, changes in our workplaces, changes, favor with people who otherwise we were falling out of favor with. In the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Begin to thank God, everybody. Just thank God for your miracle. Just say, Lord, I thank you for this particular miracle. Just thank him. Thank him for that miracle. If you believe in him, just thank him for it. Just say, Lord, I am grateful to you. I know with you it's not impossible. Thank you. Thank you. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. In the name of Jesus. With God, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted.
Exalted, and there is nothing you can do.
Oh Lord, my eyes are on you.
Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified, oh Lord, be.
Come on. Nothing you can't do. There is nothing God can't do. There is nothing God can't do. There is no sickness God cannot heal. There is no situation God cannot turn around. There is no situation God can't fix. There is nothing that God can't do. That is why your eyes have to be on Him. Not a person. Your eyes cannot be on another human being. A human being will fail you. A human being will let you down. But your eyes must be on the Lord, because there is nothing He can't do. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. In Jesus' name.